District of Conservation is sponsored by Real Camo Girl, a lifestyle brand for women who love the great outdoors, spanning from hunting, fishing, foraging, archery, shooting sports, and the like. We are proud to have them as a sponsor, and you can learn more about them at www.realcamogirl.com and follow them all across social media to learn more and get involved. Welcome to episode 19 of District of Conservation, everyone. I hope you had a wonderful week, safe from the snow. We got a ton of snow here in the Washington, D.C. metro area. I believe my backyard got like 8 to 12 inches. It was pretty thick. We haven't had that very often, so it was cool to get a little bit of snow. But I want to dedicate this episode to recapping my experience at the Virginia Fly Fishing and Wine Festival that happened down in Doswell, Virginia, which is about 15 miles or so north of Richmond. I just took I-95 south directly to this location, this venue where the state fair is apparently held. So it was really cool to go to that before the snow hit the region. And I got to have a lot of fun. I got some really cool interviews, which I'll go expand on in this episode. But before I do, I'm going to discuss why fly fishing is such a cool thing, or why it's such a happening thing nowadays. Fly fishing, as you guys know, is one of the fastest growing sectors of fishing with respect to participation. It's a little more refined than your conventional fishing. A lot of women are taking up fly fishing as well, and it's just an exciting type of sport. I will admit, I used to not have a favorable view of it because people who told me about it didn't describe it in the best detail, or I found them to be extremely elitist when they describe fly fishing, like you have to fish a certain way, things of that sort. But I know not everyone who partakes in fly fishing is elitist or very exclusionary. But I shed a lot of those misconceptions I had over the years, but especially during the show and with the interviews that I conducted there. I conducted a series of 4 mini interviews, and I will briefly discuss and introduce each before it comes on this episode. So bear with me as we do a few mini interviews, but I think you're going to find these guests to be super interesting, super informative. I got some Virginians, and I also got some visitors from Virginia to comment about their experience at the Fly Fishing Festival and fly fishing in general. So check it out. The first guest I'm going to speak with is Emily George. Emily and I connected over social media several years ago, I think maybe within the last 2 years, and she is based out of Central Virginia. She and I connected when I did a little bit of consulting work for the Southeastern Outdoor Press Association. She's a 2017 graduate of Virginia Tech. She serves as a content specialist for the Virginia Game and Inland Fisheries Department, which is really cool. And I've previously interviewed her for my Sportswoman You Ought to Know Facebook Live series. So here is more from Emily.
Emily George from the Virginia Game and Inland Fisheries, and describe kind of what you do.
So I am a content specialist, and I'm a freelancer also for outdoor publications. So I'm basically a journalist for the outdoors.
And you write for Realtree and others?
Yes, I write for Realtree, Sporting Classics Magazine. I've had stuff published and such. Any outdoor publication you see is kind of what I write for. Yeah, well, sort of. Not everywhere. Not everywhere, but I'll get there with God behind me. But I'm here today because even though hunting is a vital part of my lifestyle, I really wanted to learn how to fly fish, and I've been wanting to try to learn how to fly fish for years now, and I finally did. So
you went with Amelia, right?
Recently? I went with Amelia. I haven't seen her here. But Amelia Farr is helped me out, and then Laurel helped me out, too. So there's a bunch of ladies in the outdoors that are really experienced and passionate about fly fishing, and they hosted a ladies-only fly fishing day at Escatawba Farms right on the borderline of Virginia and West Virginia, and I went, and it just kind of inspired me to really get into it, and my stepdad just gave me a fly rod and reel, so I can get into it easily. Now all I have to get is my waders, because I've been fly fishing in duck waders. Yes, I actually talked to him. He said that they have kid-sized waders coming out.
Because I'm petite like you. Yes. So I can tell you which one you should get.
Yes, he said, what size shoe do you wear? I said, like a 3-4 in kids. And he said, we have that coming out. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. So Mossy Creek Fly Fishing, he said, we'll have them in the spring. Nice. So any ladies that are petite like me should go there in Virginia. But anyways, I'm super excited to be here. I learned a lot. And then, of course, my friend Matt Riley that I met in Siopo
yeah, we'll
is here.
Later, yeah.
Yeah, he's here with his booth set up for his business of guiding in Virginia and things like that. And so I learned a lot. I met a lot of people and all, you know, even though it coincided with ATA this weekend, I'm kind of more, you know, I'm 30 minutes from here, and this was like, it's really interesting. It's something new that I really wanted to learn how to do. And we have tons of opportunity in Virginia to fly fish for for phenomenal trout.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Virginia is one of the best destinations to come to for trout fishing.
Amen.
So it was kind of like, you know, hand in hand, two for one deal. Like, why would I not come here?
Yeah.
I'm super excited, and I'm super excited to get, you know, get my waders. And I mean, I have my real fly fishing waders with my fly rod, and get out there and experience what it's all about and learn more. Of course, I'm not an expert. Absolutely not.
No, I'm new to it too, so.
I do not know what I'm doing. I need to get out there a lot more. It's, you know, it's not like sitting in a tree stand. Yeah. You know, it's not like sitting in a tree stand and looking for a deer. It's a lot different. There's a lot of wisdom and art that goes into it, so I'm really, really excited.
So would you recommend our fellow Virginians or even anyone on the East Coast to come to the show?
Oh my gosh, yes. This was the most fabulous show that I have ever been to as an outdoor enthusiast, outdoor journalist. I mean, they have everything you want. They don't just have, it's not just like a vendor show where you're coming around and you feel obligated to buy something. I mean, they really take care of you. All of the vendors are, you know, they're not pushy. They're, and it's not even that. You just learn so much about what they have to offer. And they try to tailor what they have to offer to your needs for everyone. I mean, like I said, I'm 24 years old and I'm 4'11". I mean, I kind of need some things in the outdoors as an outdoor enthusiast tailored to my needs. And I went to, you know, Sims, and he was like, we have that for you. Coming in the spring, finally. But, you know, they have everything you need. And also, Virginia is the best destination to come to for wine and food. You cannot beat Virginia for the wine and food. So they have booths that are offering free wine tastings with your ticket and specialty foods. $20. That's it. Literally, I was like, what? Is this a joke? $20? What? So we came here, yes, and it was fabulous. And it's been the greatest experience this year.
So far.
But it'll still be at the top of my list for a while. So I encourage anybody to come out here and to participate in this and just be a part of it. It's great. It's wonderful. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it. You just come around and taste wine. Okay, what event could you be where you come and you pay $20 to try 20 different wines, which have like 5 to 10 tastings, specialty foods, vendors for fly fishing and art making, you know, creating for with certain, you know, materials from the outdoors and things like that. And they have publications, they have bookseller over there, and local food and wine. It's just wonderful. I love being here. I don't want to leave yet. So it's
despite
great.
The threat of snow coming.
Yes, and I saw there was already like an inch of snow outside on some people's vehicles. Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, Leanna, we gotta get home. We gotta go. But yeah, it's great. It's a great experience.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Emily, for the comment for the podcast as well. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for asking me about it.
Too.
I am so glad officially. Yes,
awesome.
This is so great. I saw your name, like I said, on that thing, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so good. Okay, so yeah.
The wine festival does bring people together. It's awesome.
It does. So many connections. You might think, oh, it's just like one state thing, but people come from out of state.
I have two friends from Florida here.
Yeah. They come from out of state, all over the place. I mean, this thing is huge. So, I would definitely encourage people to come here and promote it a lot more. So,
awesome. Thank you, Emily.
Absolutely.
The second interview I conducted for this episode is with my dear friend Debbie Hansen, an outdoor writer and freshwater fishing guide based out of Southwest Florida. Debbie conducted and gave several presentations at the Fly Fishing Festival, specifically on how to catch a peacock bass on the fly. Side note, she helped me catch a peacock bass with regular setup, but it's still pretty cool that she was able to talk about that. Debbie most recently appeared on George Poveromo's NBC Sports show that highlighted her first ever marlin catch. And we caught up for some lost time in this episode, so check it out.
We're with Debbie Hansen, outdoor writer and freshwater fishing guide from Southwest Florida, and she is going to describe her experience here at the Virginia Fly Fishing Festival. So Debbie, kind of shed your observations about this fly fishing festival here in Virginia, what your impressions are of it, what you like about it, what's unique about it, and that, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am here with the Riley Rod Crafters team, and there are, one of the things that, this is my first year attending the Virginia Fly Fishing and Wine Festival, but I think so far one of the things that I have found exceptionally interesting and informative and incredibly helpful about the festival is that there have been numerous seminars, both, you know, on fly casting and then also pertaining to pursuing specific different species. So I think, you know, no matter what level an angler you are, if you're into fly fishing, you're just getting into fly fishing, this is really the perfect opportunity to come and meet a variety of people that are, you know, representing a variety of different aspects pertaining to the sport, and to get out on the casting pond and try different rods of different weights and, yeah, see which rods you like, taste a few wines, and really get to know more about, you know, the wineries in Virginia. So overall, I mean, this has been a wonderful experience for my first year, and hopefully we'll sell a lot of fly rods as a result.
So which seminars are you going to be presenting on this weekend?
So I presented one today, doing the same series of seminars on fly fishing for peacock bass and exotics of South Florida. So something that's a little bit different and a little bit unique that most people that are probably local to the Virginia area haven't had a lot of experience with. So hopefully we can entice them to get down to Florida and try to pursue those species.
Absolutely. You helped me do that. So I hope that others can hire you to do that as well.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get more people coming down to Florida this season and even during the summer months. And, take advantage of all the opportunities and the freshwater and saltwater fishing opportunities that we have.
With attending the festival, does this make you more interested in doing fly fishing for trout here in Virginia? Because you have yet to do that. Is that something you want to do?
Yes. I've been fly fishing for trout in New Zealand, but I have not done it in Virginia. So hopefully one of these days I can hook up with, hire Matt Riley and get out on the water with him, because I know he's a great local guide around here. And yeah, I would love to come up this way and do a little bit more fishing in this particular area. So definitely.
Awesome. So you would definitely recommend this show for non-Virginians as well?
Oh my gosh, hands down. There's something for everybody, because even if you come with some friends and, you know, they don't know a whole lot about fly fishing, obviously there's still wines and, you know, different local purveyors that are here with different types of foods, and there really is something for everybody. But I think most people are going to come, and even if they're coming just to mainly sample the wines, they're going to get hooked on fly fishing as well.
Yes, that is very true. Thank you so much for your time, as always. I always appreciate talking to you, but I think it would be helpful for people who are outside of Virginia to hear an outsider's perspective of what our fly fishing festival is. So I appreciate you chiming in.
Definitely. Yeah. Thank you for asking me for my take.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The third interview that I think you guys will find very interesting is with Joe Mahler, who is also from Southwest Florida. Debbie actually told me that she and Joe go back about a decade or so. He's been her mentor for fly fishing, and I watched him do a fly cast demonstration, and I was blown away by how effortless and understandable he made it, because if you're just picking up fly fishing, it can be sure as heck as confusing if you don't know what it is. But he was doing various different tricks and tips and unique things that made fly casting a lot more understandable. So here is Joe Mahler from the festival.
So I'm with Joe Mahler, who is an illustrator and a fly casting extraordinaire, and he's visiting from out of state, and he has been doing a lot of seminars here. So Joe, kind of talk about your background. What do you do specifically?
Well, my background is, by trade, I'm an illustrator and writer.
Okay.
And I've worked in the advertising business, so as time went on, it sort of, the two, sort of the passion of fly fishing and the occupation blended.
Mm-hmm.
And so I illustrate and write articles for Fly Fisherman magazine.
Okay.
I've illustrated for Outdoor Life, and I absolutely love that kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
I teach fly casting. to people from all over. Florida is a great place for visitors.
Yes, I love Florida.
So we get a lot of people that come down and they quickly find that they maybe don't have the skills mm-hmm. to deal with the conditions that we have, you know, right. the larger water, the mm-hmm. the wind. Mm-hmm. It's terrific to be here in Virginia.
Is this your first show?
No, this is my fourth time.
So I've
done talks here for 4 years in a row. And I would tell you that the people of Virginia are among the best mannered people I've met. There's great questions. Just really terrific people. And that's why I keep coming back. And
that's really good to hear.
The wine's not bad either.
We have pretty decent wine, of course. Yeah, I'm a transplant, but I can say that as someone who's lived here. They're very nice people, and they're very eager to learn, and they like the outdoors
yes.
a lot. And you do a lot of fly casting, and you teach fly casting lessons and things of that sort. So what do you find from that experience?
Well, I do about 200 private lessons a year.
Yeah, you'd mentioned that.
And mm-hmm. And so I see a lot of things. I see mm-hmm. a lot of the same common things. Mm-hmm. I see, you know, basically, if someone wants to learn, they can.
Mm-hmm.
The actual physical part of it, I've had students that have had one arm. I've had people in wheelchairs. I've mm-hmm. had. If you want to do it, you
yeah.
absolutely can do
absolutely.
It and enjoy it. And the key is learning to do it so it's not hard on your body and
mm-hmm.
it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
Safety is the number one concern.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you know, the first thing I always tell somebody: get some glasses, get some sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
polarized is always good.
Yeah. You can see better, but
yes.
safety. And if
yes.
you're going to fish at night, I'd get some shooter glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And you, as you get better, you may feel comfortable not doing that. But, certainly safety's a big concern.
Yeah. And with, obviously, fly fishing becoming more popular among different strata of people, what would you say to someone who has an interest in learning how to fly fish? Is it because, in my experience, what kind of prevented me from doing, and I think a lot of people, it's kind of similar to hunting, what's kind of a roadblock to it is it's kind of this perception that it's an elitist activity. Would you say that's the case, or is that certain?
Yeah, I would say that that's not the case. I think that maybe it used to be perceived that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I would credit Lefty Cray for sort of bringing it to the common man.
Yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And, I mean, he really did put it in the hands of a lot of people who maybe otherwise didn't
mm-hmm.
Perceive it was something that they
mm-hmm.
that they could do. You know, in teaching kids, you know, kids maybe from the age of 10,
mm-hmm.
earlier than that, it's great to get them interested,
mm-hmm.
but it's a little hard to teach. Now, I will say, mm-hmm. and kind of a story from my childhood, I decided that I saw a guy doing it on TV, and I
yeah.
remember I said to my neighbor who sort of knew about everything,
mm-hmm.
and I said, I want to fly fish, and he says, you could never do that because
mm-hmm.
you don't have the patience.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to be a little fidgety, and I will tell you that fly fishing is the sport for somebody that's fidgety because
mm-hmm.
it's constant movement. It's like,
mm-hmm.
I liken it to driving a stick shift.
Mm-hmm.
You're part of the driving, you're part of the car.
Yeah.
And with fly fishing, you are part of the
uh-huh.
of the fishing equipment. And there's constant movement. So somebody, especially with somebody maybe has some attention issues,
mm-hmm.
you would be surprised at how that movement
mm-hmm.
actually. But sitting and watching a bobber takes a lot of patience.
Uh-huh.
Fly casting does
yeah.
not. It takes practice.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And but even that's really a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. What would you recommend would you recommend this show to anyone in Virginia, obviously, or out-of-staters? Do you want other Floridians to come? Should this be a more national
yeah,
rather than regional show?
Actually, there's several people here that I know from Florida. That I've seen here. I know some people that are here from Alabama
uh-huh.
and one from Georgia. So absolutely, you know, and it really has a lot to do. I mean, the show is the show's a good size. It's a manageable size.
Yeah.
To me, it's the perfect size.
Mm-hmm.
You can if you leave here not having learned something about casting
mm-hmm.
or tying, then it really is your
mm-hmm.
own fault because
mm-hmm.
there's so many people here
mm-hmm.
willing to help. And
you gave a really good fly casting seminar. I learned a lot from just seeing the different positions and how you held the fly rod and all that, and you made it simple than how I've been explained.
It is simple.
It is. You make it seem so understandable and easy to read because I've learned the paintbrush method. You hear that, but it's not contextualized. So you made
right.
the paintbrush method a little more understandable, I think.
Yeah, I don't know about the paintbrush.
That's what I was told
about.
Okay,
okay. Oh, and you know what? And I always tell people there's a lot
the
of
10 and 2 o'clock. I think.
Oh, I get you.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
There's there's always mm-hmm. a lot of right ways to do something. Mm-hmm. And I just have one right way that I happen to like. My focus, and there are other people that might focus on, mm-hmm. on other aspects of it, mine is to make it effortless. Mine is to help mm-hmm. to help somebody that's maybe had rotator cuff surgery, maybe mm-hmm. somebody that, you know, that didn't have the mobility that they mm-hmm. used to. Mm-hmm. And believe me, we have a few of those in Florida. Mm-hmm. You know, people that take up fly fishing later in life. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I became obsessed with making fly casting as effortless and as easy mm-hmm. on the body as possible.
That is how it should be, especially as more people are discovering it and learning about it. And I appreciate you coming on to talk about it and giving your little
So happy to be
yeah.
here.
And finally, nice to meet you yeah. in person, too.
It's been a while, yeah. Yeah, so we've been talking for kind of back and forth.
Yeah, so. A little bit here and yeah. there. So thank you for coming to Virginia and right. sharing your wisdom.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Okay.
The fourth and final mini interview that I conducted is with Matt Riley, son of Chris Riley, who makes the Riley Rod Crafters. And also he is a very accomplished angler in his own right with his own guiding service in southwestern Virginia, plus his stint as an outdoor writer with various magazines, including Hatch Magazine. So here is Matt on what goes into being a fishing guide, especially at such a young age. And here he goes.
Matt, talk about how the Fly Fishing Festival is a benefit to you as a small business owner and a guide, and just the overall experience here.
Well, probably one of the reasons this is probably my favorite show mm-hmm. of the year, and a big part of that reason is because everybody here I've kind of grown up with or gotten to know really well, mm-hmm. they're all the Virginia people, and those are, you know, it's my family mm-hmm. pretty much. Mm-hmm. But also, it's grown tremendously. When I first time I came, I was a volunteer.
Really?
Right after I had met Bo at a Virginia Outdoor Writers Association conference. And it was pretty small. It was in Waynesboro on the banks of the South River. Mm-hmm. And it's 7 times that size now. Mm-hmm. So it's cool to see that. But it helps as a small business owner just because you get to network with people, people who are getting into fly fishing or fly fish, you know, extensively and just want to go to a new area or learn something new, but also the other vendors too. I mean, networking with them creates opportunities and that kind of thing. So it's just networking, getting your name out there, making friends and clients and all that. It honestly comes fairly easy. You just got to be here.
So describe what fish you specifically target with your guiding company, because I think people would be interested to know what fish species we have here in Virginia.
Right. So more than 3 species, but I primarily target smallmouth bass, trout, and muskie. And when I say trout, I primarily target wild trout, so mm-hmm. trout that rainbows and brown trout that are descendants of stocked fish. Mm-hmm. They stocked fish back in the 40s and 50s to supplement recreational fisheries that had been destroyed by bad land use practices, clear-cut logging, that kind of thing in the mountains. And the habitat is such in southwest Virginia that it can support robust populations of wild trout. Mm-hmm. Not native. Brook trout are the only native fish, mm-hmm. only native trout, but wild and brown trout that have been born in the creek, that naturally reproduce in the creek. Mm-hmm. And that's really special. Most of the rest of the state does not have that mm-hmm. as a rule. Southwest Virginia, it's the rule. And I do that on a handful of creeks in the Mount Rogers National Recreation Area. And then smallmouth bass and muskie trips are almost exclusively on the New River mm-hmm. and a few other small kind of backwoods tributaries that mm-hmm. I probably won't talk about.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You don't want to give away those sacred fishing spots.
Right.
And what would you say to someone, let's say people who are in our generation, our fellow millennials, what would you say to them if they had an interest in picking up a fly rod but didn't know where to go to? Aside from obviously hiring you to guide them, what would you say as a basic rule or a basic set of recommendations for someone who would be interested in learning how to fly fish?
Yeah. So I would say probably the number one thing to keep in mind is that, you know, just because you see trout in all the ads and all the videos and all the magazine articles doesn't mean that there's nothing else to fish for. Mm-hmm. Everybody has some targetable species in their backyard, mm-hmm. whether it be carp, smallmouth, muskie, gar, mm-hmm. you know, bluegill, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody lives within 10 miles of bluegill,
yeah,
just about. And it is really just another fishing tool. It's yeah. no harder than conventional spinning, bait casting, fishing. It's no more prestigious or anything like that. Just find a mentor, find somebody who, mm-hmm. you know, is a good fly fisherman, have them teach you and take you places, or reach out to, you know, game department people. They're generally more than welcome to talk, but there's also lots of information on game department websites and that kind of thing. So that's where I'd steer people, for sure.
That's good. Those are good pearls of wisdom, and I appreciate you telling me about that and finally us meeting and putting the name to a face. So I appreciate that. How can people best contact you?
So they could use my website. It's just www.mattreillyflyfishing, and Reilly is R-E-I-L-L-Y. That's probably the best way. All my contact information otherwise is on there, email, phone, that kind of thing.
Very cool. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it.
I thought those four interviews really contextualized how dynamic the Virginia Fly Fishing and Wine Festival is. I would have grabbed Bo Beasley onto the podcast, but he was running around. He was managing the show. But I think he'll appreciate that I brought on four unique individuals to offer their thoughts on the festival and really promote it and tout it really well. It is such a cool show, I will say that, and I'm going to try to attend it in the years forthcoming every January. I'm sad I didn't go to it sooner, probably because of my reluctance to pick up fly fishing up until the last 2 years, but I'm going to make an effort to go to that show as best as I can going forward, as long as it doesn't conflict with my business schedule or no crazy amount of snow deters me from driving down 95 to Doswell. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. You can find all supporting podcast platforms on anchor.fm/district/of-conservation. You can find us on other platforms besides iTunes, but we rely on iTunes for all of our views, downloads, and other metrics. So please, please, please download this episode, share it with your friends, encourage your friends to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. It'll help us reach more people. The more listeners we have, the better off the podcast will be. Stay tuned for upcoming episodes as I detail all the crazy, asinine gun control legislation bills being considered in the House of Representatives. Plus, the following week, I'm going to recap my trip to SHOT Show. So don't miss that episode. Thank you guys, and have a good week.